It's been a minute. We haven't recorded in ages. Well, recorded properly in a long time. And I still have a backlog. Well, I have a log of, I've got to get one more podcast that I've got to re-edit and put it out. Hopefully I can get that done in the next day or two. It's always great chatting with Keba, talking about, you know, sports issues of the day and what's going on in the world around us. You know, a lot of what we're saying is that, you know, a lot of it is our own opinion, and we do go in depth on John Gruden and a little bit on Kyrie Irving. Again, you know, as we say, as goes on, you know, your choice of words is how you choose your words and how you choose to let them affect other people is completely on you, and also how we as the listener of those words choose to receive those words. Okay, that sounds so complicated, but it's not really. You know, it's unfortunately for John Gruden, who's just landed himself in too much hot water. And there's more news to come on that. You know, it's a sticky situation that there was an investigation going on in misconduct, and you know, some of his emails resurfaced, and people are probably burying emails right now, making sure they haven't said anything they claim they didn't need to say, and you know, and so on. But there's gonna, you know, this kind of thing is always gonna come out eventually. You know, but you know, that being said, we talked in depth and got right down deep into some good sports stories and sports information, and I think we're trying to be as concise as possible, which is we can go on for hours and hours. See, you don't want to record a podcast for 2 hours, but it's always great chatting with him. Also, look at our GoFundMe page. You know, like I say, every little bit helps. I'm trying to put out a better product. We are trying to put out a better product, and it doesn't just affect this podcast. It also affects the Rugby Run Unfelt podcast. Look out for that, because there'll be an episode coming soon as well. And you know, you just want to put out a better product. So you know, if you have any available little bits that you would like to that you can fund us with, that would be amazing, and we'd really appreciate that. Looking forward to this week. We're going to try and record again. Today's Thursday. We're going to try and record again tomorrow, so that we have something for the weekend out. I might even just put it out raw, right after the recording, if we get the time. And yeah, look, as always, thank you for taking the time to listen to us, and I hope you enjoy the episode, and take care of yourselves.
Fence, and that says a lot. Here comes McCready. Oh, he just sucked the gravity right out of the building. What a play by T-Man.
How about the passion? Look at the animation on Tracy McGrady. Normally sleepy-eyed, very smooth. You don't see this kind of energy and passion. David Aldridge talked about it's playoff time. Look at the extension. Sean Bradley.
The crowd is ooing and aahing, well, as we just did ourselves.
Well, let me give you a little quote that Jeff Van Gundy gave me today. He said, you know, I talked to Tracy McGrady about being a guy who can unite his team with his passing and inspire him with the great plays and passion. That was inspirational. That was an inspirational move.
That we recorded.
Moore.
On the on the network 10-12. So it's actually funny, because I have a theater podcast that I recorded before the baby was born.
Yes.
It's not out yet.
Yeah.
I have a few more coming up that I need to record. Okay. You know, bruh, when you have a child or a young one, a lot of your energy gets taken away. So our small viewership that is with us you know, just we're very sorry. It's mostly load shedding's fault in the ANC, and and it's not my child's fault because she's, you know, she's almost three. You know, next week she's 3 months old, eh?
Dude, feels like she's been around for a while.
And so lots has been going on. Yeah, here we are. Welcome back to
Thank you.
All kinds of things. What happened in the time that we were away? So the Springboks somehow beat New Zealand after New Zealand beat the Springboks. And, you know, and I think all those games were incredibly, incredibly tight.
Yes.
We forget
the really bad one was the one where we got slapped 30-17 by Australia because we never got into that.
We just never got into that.
So every other defeat, Springboks should have won. I think that's the biggest disappointment. We would have been winning. We'd have won this rugby championship. We'd have gotten the Mandela Cup. We'd have gotten back the Freedom Cup trophies we haven't had for a while. So it's like, no.
But you know,
rather disappointing.
But you know, some of that also is, do we need those right now? Maybe we needed a bump year.
Yes.
We needed a year where, like, we weren't so great. So, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that happened. We talked at length. You know, we were on Twitter a lot when Instagram and Facebook decided to disappear off our lives for 11, 12 hours. I was on Twitter more than I've probably ever been in 10 years. But throughout the whole rugby championship, from the Lions tour into the whole rugby championship, I've been cussing people out about, you know, our DNA and the way South Africa plays and whatever.
Yes.
You can't please everybody, not everybody, you know. Other things that happen. Ronaldo is Ronaldo and is probably the greatest footballer ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably, I say that. I have so much respect for the Brazilian Ronaldo. I have massive amounts of respect for Messi. Yes. I just think that Messi's being used like any old random player at PSG. So what's this? He's lying underneath the wall now. All of a sudden, they don't have a rookie for that.
Out of thought, somebody taller would be needed to cover longer space.
You know,
larger space. I don't know. Look.
But they don't have a rookie for that, clearly. Like, that's like a rookie's job.
Sometimes I don't even think it has anything to do with seniority more than anything. I think it should be more practical. Out of thought, somebody taller would have actually been lying behind the wall.
Because, he's easily one of the top three players ever. And you got him lying on the floor. Okay, maybe he's a team man first. Maybe this is also what we don't understand about Messi.
That image, yes.
You know, maybe we don't understand that about Messi. You know, that move has happened. He's eating. These guys are eating, huh?
How much is it? A week now? Is it a million or 750,000? Something like that.
It's more than we'll ever fathom right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's not struggling for rent. We are.
No. He's 2 weeks of payments and he's done for life.
You know, he's paid rent for the year, so he's fine.
But then he's allowed to get paid that money if he's making so much money for PSG.
Oh, no, sure.
Ronaldo pays off the transfer fee three times over in his first day in terms of shirt sales at Man United. We got him for 18 million. 50 million pounds worth of sales in the first day. Paid off.
How much did United get him for? 18.
18. It's something like 18. And then so obviously there'll be bonus.
Do you remember what he was bought for?
When 180 million pounds in 2009 by Real Madrid.
When he was signed, he was signed in 2003, he was worth 15 or 17.
Yes.
It's funny how he came back at almost the same price.
Real Madrid, in essence,
overpaid for him.
Real Madrid stole him from us.
Yeah, sure.
Because of his return on investment, he was a world record fee at 80 million pounds, but I think Ronaldo. His returns at Real Madrid from 2009 to 2018. Oh my goodness, I'd be ill if I was Man United's executives. We should have sold him for 150 million back then. And then when he goes,
we should have made it impossible to sign. We should have made him impossible.
Not make more money, get interest, some kind of residual interest for selling.
Yeah, but you see, our friend Martin Kenyon was not all that vibe.
I know.
Neither was the Glazer family. And, yeah. You know, yeah.
He goes to Juventus, 100 million pounds. They paid off in 2 weeks.
It's mad.
In terms of merchandising.
Mad.
Dude, he is the biggest sportsman on earth. He is the most lucrative, bigger, not bigger in terms of like name than your LeBrons and everything, but in terms of...
No, he is. Because remember, ESPN had that whole thing. I think I sent it to you guys. ESPN had this whole thing that LeBron has finally made 100 million followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo and Messi are like double that, triple that almost.
Dude, those on Instagram, right?
You know, it's mad. Yeah. There's also a new doc. I haven't seen the doc yet. I see it's on Netflix. I want to actually check it out.
There's another one.
A Ronaldo doc. It's him. I think it's him. They're following him around. And, you know, and then, you know, let's also put in the Kobe comparison. He did get away from a rape charge.
We'll never know what the story was.
Then. I don't even know. Yeah, because that was weird. Yeah, I don't even remember this.
Yeah, anyway.
What else has happened? The Lakers have bought all of the 2012 All-Stars. Them boys better be.
I was going to say, you beat me to that joke. I was like, the 2012 season in Lakers is going to be a very interesting one. Because
I think so too. I think they were like just trying to be funny with this whole 2021 and then 2020. Yes, they were trying to be smart. They played last night against the Warriors. I know it's a preseason game. You shouldn't take anything out of it. I think it was the first time that they had Westbrook, Davis, and LeBron on the floor. Me being me, I always think, you know, you got to get them on the floor all the time. But, you know, Shannon Sharpe also said that. And, you know, Shannon Sharpe is slowly becoming one of my great comedic idols because some of the things he says. But they're centered. It's just the southern saying.
Dude, like I said in the message, when I tell your listeners, it's like that uncle from down south somewhere who eats way too much grits, who's got way too much oil in his meat, and oh my goodness,
he's that one. Who, you know, you go to the cooker and he's looking for collard greens. You know, he's you know, like why?
Uncle, do you want some meat with that sauce, bro, because of the amount of sauce he has.
But you know, man, for his age, brother's 50. If you see what he looks like, he is.
I saw. I was like, hey, why don't we sign him as tight end?
I'm telling you, he could give you a good quarter right now.
He could give you a quarter. That's why his career was so long. You know, all these people who look like, we've said it before, all these guys who look after themselves physically, their careers go on for longer.
MJ, and Kobe.
Exactly.
Tom Brady.
Kobe's knees just started saying, retired 3 years before he did.
No, I think his knees actually retired 10 years before he did.
Yeah, but he still kept on pushing.
You know, that's just the other thing. Like, you know, in that sport, your cartilage just wears away.
Yes. I'm like, how do basketball... Because I run a lot now, and I'm thinking to myself, you play in a, let's say you're a top, anyway, it's an 82 game season.
Mm.
And the amount of...
Plus preseason, plus playoffs.
Exactly. And then the amount of running, and then the sudden change of direction, and then the jumping and the shock in your knees. It's like, I've got to give NBA players props for not being as injured as you think they'd be, particularly... ankles and
well, I mean, I think it's also got a lot to do with the shoes. Hey, the shoes must be amazing. I mean,
yes,
they are, considering what you get at merchandise. Like I wear Jordans a lot.
Yes,
which irritates the partner in my life, and but the shoes last. I mean, obviously I'm not playing in them, right? So they don't last three or four days. If I'm wearing If I wear a pair of Jordans, I'll wear them for 2 years, you know, because the quality of the shoe is so good. I'm just making an example, you know.
Yeah.
I had a pair of Nike Kobe's for 2 years, just wore every day or wore every second day. I mean, at the point where they were getting on, I would wear them to the gym when I was lifting, brah.
Yeah, man.
but, you know, interesting. And the Bulls look good. Bulls are always a sleeper. The Bulls look really good.
Before we leave,
you want to go? I forgot about the injuries. Going back to the injuries, the point.
Yeah, no, Lakers, particularly the Lakers. Yeah, we're mentioning injuries and so on. And then I just wanted to say, because I, like I said, I'm now getting into Undisputed with Sharp and Bayless. No, Bayless on his
hot take.
He was just saying that stuff to be antagonistic, man. Granted, the Lakers have looked shoddy during the playoffs, but I'm thinking perhaps it's a chemistry issue, because he was making good points, but obviously he was just being controversial for the sake of being controversial.
The thing with dude is, like, sometimes he spits facts, eh?
Sometimes, that's the thing.
Some of his LeBron facts come off at, like, hate, but some of it is facts. It's like, homie is not great in the fourth quarter at the free throw line. His 3-point percentage is 37%. Yeah. What's really scary about LeBron that even Skip Bayless cannot deny is he's had one major injury his whole career, and that was his ankle. And it only kept him out 20-something games.
And I don't know how many times I've said, I was like, man, that is an amazing...
That's durability, eh? But whoever said to him, hey, when you get in that league, look after yourself. Whoever, he needs to be paying that guy right now.
I hope it was Jordan.
Apparently, the relationship isn't great.
Yeah, no, because, well, look, there's nothing... Look, there was nothing to link them together. Like, true. I mean, one retired months before the other made his debut. And it's not like their paths ever crossed, like what they did with Kobe and...
LeBron and, or Kobe and Michael
and,
then, yeah.
and John and Jordan, but yeah, it is what it is.
I think also the other thing that where people also forget that he met the two of them met when LeBron was maybe a junior in high school.
Yes,
and you know, like Michael at that time is a 35-year-old man. I just want to hang out with this fucking kid, man. So
hey, thank you. No matter how talented you are,
like. I've got nothing in common with you, bro. Like,
yes, you're a top sorry, player.
You're a top player, you're but.
You're a generational talent, but you know,
you're in high school, you know, and I'm sure it will get better when dude retires.
Yes, maybe when they've got time to hang out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Mike got time for nothing. You see the flex on ESPN. Did you see his trophy? So whenever he does an interview, he does it from his office, and you just see all his trophies behind him. The man needs to chill. Like, it's flex. But, so, the NFL restarted. And if you don't think that Brady's the greatest quarterback, I'm not going to, you know, some people are saying he's the greatest athlete. Let's calm down. Let's just chill out.
He's just the greatest quarterback. And I despise that he's a system quarterback. He's a system. So what the hell is he supposed to do? Not play well because he's a system quarterback. What is he supposed to negate his powers because you guys don't like?
Yeah, but then again, he goes to Tampa Bay and the system is very different. It's got more weapons.
And yet, there they are. They could defend.
What are they? 4-0 right now.
Huh?
What are they? 4-0 right now.
Yeah, they are 4-3 and 4-1. 4-1. They got pasted by the Saints.
Oh yeah,
That defense of theirs is dodgy. So. They're gonna have to play wild and out football, like literally just
that defense leaks touchdowns like the Western Province defense.
Hating on Brady.
No, you still don't do it. The homecoming was great. I think we have to accept
it. It was a game worth getting up for.
The homecoming was great, and then.
Did and you see then how this Belichick was at the end? Belichick
no, he not, wasn't. He oh wasn't. My God. No.
Belichick. He's not a sentimental man.
Apparently, they had talked in the week and said, we're going to meet after the game. Yes. Belichick. And literally, I've heard him on voiceover saying to coaches even before games, hey, let's just do this for the media. We'll talk afterwards. Like, that's his thing. He doesn't need to be doing these, like,
grand... Narrative-driven hugs. Oh, welcome home, my son.
Oh, bro.
Blah blah this that's and then the media picked up and then they're like, oh my God, he's so unsentimental. It's like,
but then they went and had a 20-minute conversation. Both of them walked out smiling from the changing room. And
yeah,
what's the big deal?
And they probably still talk from time to time. You know, fuck.
They like I suppose, like Shannon Sharp said, like
if Belichick wanted Brady around, he would have offered him the 3-year extension, and he didn't. He decided he wanted to go with somebody else, somebody younger. I'm not going to lie, as I have major respect for TB12. I really do. I do feel like somebody's going to hit him. And they're going to hit him in that those knees are not good, man. Those knees, he's already had an operation. He's had operations on the knees. Somebody gets him and that thing twists, it's over. Giselle will be like, no.
Thank goodness.
Giselle will be
like, hence why I'm saying that. So that obviously means that the Buccaneers have got the best O-line in the league, because that must be working overtime. The blocking. I've been watching them from a technical standpoint. The blocking by wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, offensive linemen, they are working overtime just to protect that 44-year-old man.
It's scary because when you think about it, though, also, he went on a rush, right? Yes. Because the pocket broke down.
Yes.
Nobody hit him. You notice nobody hit him. That's respect, bro. Yes. That is respect. Nobody
hit him. But Vontavious, what's his name? Perfect. That from the Raiders, when he gets
he'll do it.
Perfect. There's some people who need to make a name for themselves.
He'll do it.
And if you want to be known as the guy who finished Tom Brady's career, then so be it,
you know.
But I think
that's the nature of the beast, isn't it? That's part of the game, and you signed up to be there. I don't think Brady's under any illusions of what can and cannot happen to him, but at 44, body doesn't respond like it does at 30.
44, but the fact that he's still...
But the fact that he's still amazing. He's
still making it rain, man. That when would he... Okay, it's like I was telling Miles, a big Dolphins fan. I was like, all right, Miles, he made mincemeat out of you, folks. And he's like, yeah. But then it's the Dolphins. It will get harder.
Miles, I know you're going to listen to this.
We are sorry, man. Hey, your team is ass, man. You can't keep tanking every year.
Change your team, Dan Marino retired a long time ago.
Hey, Munna. How just long is the team going to keep fumbling its drafting?
Cleveland Cavaliers? I mean, they got the LeBron right. They won a championship. In all of that, but amidst all the craziness and what's happened this last week, I even forgot that Tampa Bay was playing this week because of what happened to John Gruden.
Yeah, bro.
There's no place for racism in sport. There's no place for any kinds of discrimination, whether you're, you know, homophobic, whether you just cut it up. Keep it to yourself. People are going to go fine tooth comb. There we go.
Yeah, bro.
Everything. Look what they remember. Remember, a few years ago. I'm guessing it's 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart was supposed to host the Oscars.
Yes.
And a tweet. This is somebody who went after Kevin Hart, right? And a tweet resurfaced. Kevin Hart had said something about.
Made jokes. Yeah,
you know, his daughter, and it was a joke, and that's gay, you know, and LGBTQ communities goes nuts.
Because now they had a nice target to aim for.
Nice target, right? And he even, it got to a point where he went on Ellen, who's obviously the, you know, LGBTQ spokesman for the world, who's got her own problems. And she says to him, no, man, I thought it was a joke. I think it's funny, whatever. And I'm a comedian, so, you know, screw everybody else, go and host the Oscars. And he just couldn't bring himself to do it because he was just that ashamed at the fact that somebody went after him that badly.
Yes.
And sometimes,
It was, you know, I think I understand what his stance was. That person went after him out of spite.
10 years
of change after 10 years. Are you trying to tell me, Kevin Hart, remember how many That's So Gay jokes? I'm saying it right now on your podcast. We used to make when we were still at school. We didn't know better. When perceptions were different.
Kids are still doing it. We're still, in some certain circles, probably doing it now.
Yeah, unless you are really malicious about it. And Kevin Hart, I think that's probably the mistake he should have said. That's a mistake he said. He should have come out and said, hey, you know what? Perceptions of the LGBT community were different back then. It was easy to punch down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that I did that, but please don't view me this way. Don't now present me as this very homophobe.
Exactly. Right.
That's the thing. And I'm sure you're going to make a point now. Please continue. But that's my 2 cents worth of...
No. I completely agree with you. And that's where John Gruden should have just been like, okay, I made this mistake and I was really upset and I was angry and this is how I felt in the moment and I apologize. He'd still have a job. He'd have a job right now. He'd be coaching. He'd be coaching on Sunday. Oh, he'd be coaching on Sunday.
Okay. And did you hear what?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you hear what Sharpie said? Mm. He said, had he just gotten up and said, this, that I was sorry, you know, it's a bad look that I say this, particularly now that a lot of my success is owed to black men.
No black players,
you know, it is so insensitive. I will address this with the team because I'm telling you, if he sat down the team and said, you know what, I actually said this and I'm sorry and it's hypocritical of me beyond being racist that I said this, that, and the other. Can you allow me to atone for this? Mm. Even Sharp was like, yeah, they're going to mistrust you, but ask them, the people you offended, to let you atone for it. Don't now start lying and say that this man's lips, you said this man's lips were made of rubber because he lies. Because now that's bullshit. You know what you meant by, you meant those nigger lips. I'm sorry to say so. That's what you meant. Those nigger lips, those big lips. And remember, we are caricatured. Black people have been caricatured with having fat lips from I don't know when as a racist caricature. So the minute you start clutching at straws.
I think, you know, I just think like if I'm in the same position 10 years on, I've won a Super Bowl. I've won a Super Bowl I won in 2002. I think about, like, you know, because exactly what they asked Shannon Sharpe, like, would he have said that to Warren Sapp's face? Warren Sapp would have slapped the shit out of him. Okay. And just apologize and move on. You know how easy it is just to say, listen, I'm sorry. Instead of saying, I'm not answering these questions. I've dealt with this with the team. I've spoken to the team. It didn't, you know, he's a gruff guy.
Yes.
He's a passionate oak, obviously, knows the game, knows football, knows what he's doing. The Raiders did give him a really horrible contract offer. I mean, $100 million over 10 years. I mean, that's just silliness. But, okay, they get out of jail free there. He only did 4 years of the contract, and there's $60 million left on the table. Mm-hmm. That now they can buy some players. Just go out and say, listen, I'm sorry, I screwed up, and we can all just, you know, he'd have a job. And like you say, he's not going to fall far, but he's not going to get on TV. He won't get on TV. That we know. He won't get on TV. He's probably going to get some university job where, you know, second division, first division, he'll get a gig. It's not going to be your Oklahoma or, you know, Texas or one of those big schools, you know, because them schools look at their image outlook and know exactly who's on their football team.
Yeah.
80% of the NFL, maybe 95% of the NFL is black players, right? And 95% of the coaches are white coaches. And you've got to be blind or stupid to say something like that. And if Gruden, and I don't know, I'm not going to be, I still also think, like, you know, if you send a risky email from 10 years ago, you don't think somebody's going to go through somebody else's emails. And also Urban Meyer, you know, Urban Meyer also just opened this up for everybody to be looked at. you don't think anybody's going to go after you. And they do. This is what they do now because everything's on the cloud.
Now people, it's now a currency. It's a currency to go and try cancel somebody because that's how spiteful people or the people are looking for clout or they're spiteful or they're looking for some kind of monetary. So hence why I was like, in an alternate universe, my favorite phrase, I would have a moratorium on cancel culture where people can come forward and say, this is what I've done, this is what I've... And then we give you clemency and we say for the next year, we don't cancel anybody. But from moving forward now...
Almost like a TRC. Almost like a TRC. You just, you come out, you say, listen, ik het opgefokken klaar.
Yeah. Imagine the amount of emails that are being cleaned, or that are being scrubbed, or WhatsApp messages. Whether it's racism, whether it's homophobia, whether it's crimes committed by whoever, black or white players, and
it's just very sad to me. And look, again, you don't do it, and across the color barrier as well. We need, you know. Across the whole thing, I don't say this about my players. My players don't say this about me. I hope to God that I'm honest as I can be with you. And if you even you're honest with me, what I'm learning is some people here don't like to learn the truth, but that's
a story. That's weird. That's Germany. I thought Germans were forthright.
You want to get me kicked out of the country, don't you? And, you know, all Gruden had to do was just apologize. And if you want to hear, if you want to hear the Undisputed podcast, or, you know, it's a podcast of their show that goes on Fox Sports, go and listen to it. I'll put a link on the description. And that reminds me, while we're talking about links, we are trying to raise some money.
Yeah.
And we have a GoFundMe page and there will be a link in the description. Every little bit helps us make this podcast a bit more, gives me the chance to devote more time to editing, because I'm very bad at that. It gives Kevin the time to maybe free up some space. It gives us also a chance to fix the Rugby Rheinland-Pfalz pod and just generally make this product a bit more professional. So if it doesn't matter if you've got R1, €1 spare, anything will go.
But hell no Zimbabwean dollars. That was a joke, my Zimbabwean friends.
So I think John Gruden is over, poor guy.
Yeah.
But let's get on with it. Let's get real. You guys win.
The thing is look, it is something I've been thinking about for the last few days, and I was just like, oh, when does it end? Like, okay,
It doesn't. These players can wear.
How long are we going to keep canceling one another? Because then we stop eating ourselves now.
Bro, players can on the back of their neck, on the back of their helmets, these guys can wear End Racism, Black Lives Matter on the jerseys. They can have all the slogans in the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, until we learn to educate ourselves about each other and how we're exactly the same people, we're going to get through a whole lot more things together. And unfortunately, that is a world that looks like sunshine and roses.
Yes.
And it's just not always like that. It's not like that. And unfortunately, in the world of sports, it's not fun. In the world of theater, it happens. In the world of journalism, as you know, it happens. Yes. TV. Doesn't matter. We all have some semblance of it. But if we all actually just educate each other about our cultural differences and why certain things are offensive, we'll be a lot further.
Empathy.
Right.
I think that's one thing where, like, try and see the world from somebody else's point of view. What? Understand why. When the minute you can humble yourself enough to do that, oh my word.
There was a thing Elvis Presley apparently used to have sewn in the bottom. Well, you know, he had bell bottoms, my man.
Yeah.
Performed, but he had a thing, an acronym. Walk a mile in another man's shoes, and the acronym was there, because his music was gospel, mm-hmm. gospelified through the black church. And it, I don't want to go on about Elvis for too long, but if you, he could always understand, and he grew up poor, and he could always correlate to poor people, and, you know, mm-hmm. And this is also what we need a bit more of. It's just understanding, just a bit more understanding it, just a bit more. Yeah. We keep saying it, we keep calling for it. Some people just need to act right. So, yeah.
mm-hmm.
Week five. Well, it's been an interesting 4 weeks.
The favorites for the championship, for the Super Bowl, change every week, because that's the thing.
Still going with the Patriots. Definitely. We're in there, boy. One and four. We're there, bro. We're a 500 team. We're going to do it. We're making the playoffs.
Like I said, we will know by game 10. I mean, this week, everybody's saying,
I reckon we know by game 8.
Game 8.
I think so.
That's halfway. That's even less than halfway.
What is half? What are we? 17 games this year?
17 games. So.
Okay, let's say week 9. Yeah, you know, game 9.
I think week 9, huh?
I think week 9, we'll know who the MVP is going to be. We'll know. Yeah. But, you know, they do change every week. And
that's the beauty. But isn't that great, though? Hmm? Isn't that great?
Yeah, look, I mean, in a different sport, it's taken the South African teams in the United Rugby Championship up until the third game to win a game.
Yeah,
and that goes to show exactly how difficult the Northern Hemisphere is. I think people always look at those games and go, oh, they're not so great up there. The talent pool, they're internationals playing there every week. I know it's the Moolah, all of that.
And but against our own players too. Imagine
against our own players. I mean,
making them stronger.
Right.
I mean, watching Arkies Neman score that try against the Stormers, I was like,
Jam, I feel so. I also feel sorry for him that his knee's gone. But, you know, you play against the best players. You know, the talent pool in the NFL is ridiculous. Oof. This draft cast was crazy. I mean, Burrow, I'm just like, there was a 70-yard touchdown pass. He dinks and dies, you know. Cincinnati should not be what they're doing, but they're doing.
Which is great, isn't it?
It's absolutely amazing. And I think
they're adding value.
They're massively. And then they went up a guy who's a Super Bowl champ who also didn't want to be there. Let's get real. Okay. The man didn't want to be there anymore. Rodgers just was like, I'm tired. And he still is tired. He wants to go somewhere else. He wants a Tom Brady situation.
He's been failed. He should have been challenging Tom Brady in terms of rings. But
Green Bay consistently
messing up team composition. They can never get their defense right. They can never give him the right wide receivers. It's like, why? You are Green Bay. You are like the doyens of American football. You guys are the team.
Mm-hmm.
The first ever Super Bowl winners. The mystical Green Bay Packers of Lambeau Field. And yet you keep stuffing up drafts, trades, and whatnot. And every time Aaron Rodgers has to sneak you into the playoffs, only to see them lose to the Seahawks or the Cardinals, you know, those same usual nonsense teams that always knock out the Green Bay Packers.
You know, it's like Bafana, we're always supporting Capon or someone, you know.
Zimbabwe. Kamal must beat Nigeria by 3 goals.
Yeah.
We must beat Lesotho by 3.
No. What are you talking about? We must always draw. We must always draw. And then somebody must beat somebody by 3 goals. And then we need somebody to lose there in that.
And then China needs to sign a new deal with India. And
you know.
Must sit in that direction. It's like that.
And then they're going to rebuild new pyramids. It's all going to work out.
Yeah, that's the Green Bay Packers for you with their green and yellow, which is very Bafana color-like when you think about it. Typical. But
the thing is, like, Rodgers wants the Tom Brady deal. Rodgers wants to go to LA. I'm telling you, if I'm on that Rams team, Rodgers is on that Rams team, hey, I think they have a great quarterback now. Don't get me wrong. And Goff wasn't the guy for them either. But Goff doing Goff things. you know, great for three plays, and then just three plays were shut.
Yeah.
If Rodgers gets himself a deal like the Rams, he's a completely he's literally in the Super Bowl every year. You know?
Yes.
And that thing, and I get the frustration and why he's irritated. Okay, they stuck him around, they signed him to another deal, he held out. You know, he didn't do the James Harden where he just got fat and didn't want to play. He literally just, you know, I mean, he didn't do the Big Ben. I mean, Big Ben can't move 2 meters to the left or to the right. And, you know, okay, let me finish on Rodgers. And I feel like that game, high scoring, great, great game, you know, there's bombs everywhere. Like,
this is Chargers, Browns, or.
No, this is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, Bengals. Against... Okay, it was not quite a high scoring game. There was just a lot of picks.
I think there was just a lot of bombs. Like the passing.
Oh, okay. I meant like, okay.
You know, there was a lot of bombs. Maybe not high scoring, but a lot of bombs.
It was an entertaining game.
It's an entertaining game. And I think also this weekend was far more entertaining than, you know, than maybe the week before. Okay, the TB12 going back to Foxborough. If he gets that kick and there's a minute left on the clock, do we get to see Brady do a winning drive? You know, do we get to see why this guy is who he is?
Yeah.
Their game though this week, I turned off my stream. Okay. I went and I hunted for a stream because DAZN wasn't showing the game. None it. DAZN, just shit together. And couldn't find a stream. So I found a stream and it was going good. Then it was 22-9, and I wasn't happy. So I was like, screw this. Okay. And then just as I'm getting into bed, well, just before, you know, getting ready for bed, 22-15, I'm like, I should find that stream. And in the time, then it was 22-22, and I was like, this is just crazy.
This is the Patriots that you know.
This is the Patriots that I know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give Mac Jones some props, but obviously then I think they need to put him in the gun more. He, you know, tracking back three step drops and two step drops are not his thing. In the gun, he has more time, he can see things. But I think I know why they want him under center all the time, because that's the way to learn, right? But your game, the game,
you
support the weirdest teams, bro. The only like supporting, like, I completely understand. Like, because you lived in Cape Town so long, so the Western Province Stormers. Completely understand. Right. I understand the Chicago Bulls thing.
Yeah, because, well, that's when we were growing up, right?
That's what we grew up with. I get that. I also understand the Manchester United thing, you know.
Yes.
I get all that. But, bro, Baltimore. You support the Baltimore Ravens. We've talked about this before. I'm just reiterating. Who's your ice hockey team?
Carolina Hurricanes.
Because everybody wants to go to Carolina. Yeah. Your baseball team, you don't have a baseball team.
Because I'm trying to get into it, but yo, there's so much. It's like,
You need time. You need to be patient. It's like cricket. It's like 5-day cricket, except it's all on one night.
Yeah, man.
And you wait for, you know, you're just going to get Hasep, actually. That's why you go. Yeah. But Baltimore.
By the way, the reason I decided to support Baltimore, it was 2009. It was in 2009, and it was the AFC Championship game against the Steelers, which is the rivalry, right? So at that point, I was getting into American football. I was getting into American football. I was very unfamiliar with it. I played Madden. Obviously, you remember when we used to have Madden on our laptop at school back in Bishop's. And
what school is it?
Bishop's. Just in case anybody didn't know.
Back at Bishop's.
I went to Bishopsbury. And I decided, so it was a rivalry game in the AFC Championship game to see who would go to the Super Bowl to meet the Cardinals. And I decided there and then, do I choose a Steelers? Dude, if it had been like the Patriots versus maybe, who was a good team at the time in the AFC? If you'd said the Patriots were playing the Colts that night, I'd have either chosen the Patriots or I'd have chosen the Colts. I was going to choose somebody. And I decided to choose the Ravens. And that's who I am. When I choose a team, I stick with it. And that's why And then it turns out I picked them at the wrong time, because this is when the franchise started becoming relevant in terms of playoffs. Like, they had the best defense in the history of the game. That there were, and defense was an institution, was a big part of its institutional identity, with your Ray Lewis's. Jim Harbaugh was now establishing himself as, John Harbaugh was establishing himself as a very good coach. Joe Flacco had been drafted, and he suddenly transformed the team from, because they'd never had any good quarterbacks since like the Baltimore.
And then immediately fell off the face of the earth.
After, so that's why. And I stuck with them. And the fact that they are unpopular teams, them and the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes,
and they had Shannon, right? They had Sharp as well.
No, Sharpie had retired 5 years before. He was the missing piece in the team that finally won the Super Bowl like 5 years after they were established. And I think he played for two more seasons and then he retired.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, Hurricanes, I just supported because I got an NHL 2007.
Okay, all right.
And then they were the best team there. So I was like, I'm going to be a Hurricanes fan. And I stuck with them.
Right.
That's just who I am.
You're just weird. So,
yeah.
That game, though, the Monday night game.
I can tell you now. When we went 22,
how much Belvedere did you go through?
None. But some crackling. But I was willing to bring out some crackling. Anyway, we went 22-3 down. And it was about 3:30 in the morning. And I wanted to go to sleep. But then I was like, man, these guys have given me something to smile about in recent years. We rise together, we fall together. And I decided to stay up. Staying up was probably the best damn decision ever. Because, man. Lamar Jackson pulled off his Tom Brady comeback. This is his game, like the game where we're gonna say, Lamar.
This is his Brady.
He can throw. He can throw. Because this year they figured out the running game. They are forcing him to throw more. And it turns out he actually is a good passer. He really is a good passer. I've figured it out in the last few weeks that we've got a good passer in the quarterback. It's just that because he's unusual, he divides opinion. I don't know why he divides opinion, because he's definitely the most exciting quarterback in the league. There's nothing to hate about him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't carry himself like the world owes him. So I don't know why the dislike. But, oh man, the emotional roller coaster on Monday morning. Whew.
The dislike, I think, is because he... like Mahomes.
Yeah.
So great, so talented, but then has this affinity to just do some crazy dumb shit, you know.
But
he's Michael Vick 2.0, except Michael Vick had a bit more. To me, Michael Vick was a better player in terms of, if I need to run, I'll run.
Yes.
But my throw is just as accurate.
Yes.
I'm not saying Lamar's throw is, you know, his arm is bad, but it's not as great. It's not
exactly the best, is it?
It's not Mahomes. Mahomes' arm is ridiculous.
I think they're in the league. I think they are probably top 10 other quarterbacks who pass better than Lamar Jackson. But because he makes up, the fact that he makes up for that weakness with his legs. Or he makes a plan. He's a resourceful player. He'll make a plan. And that's all you want. I mean, he's made us competitive. But it's just about, can he now carry us to it? Because I know when Joe Flacco was peak, we could go into Foxborough, be 10-0 down, and somehow he'll throw us back into the game, and then we'll win that AFC Championship game. That's still one of my memories, going beating the Patriots in New England, in the AFC Championship, in Tom Brady's house, in his situation. Can Lamar Jackson do that? I know deep down inside, I doubt it, but I'm enjoying the ride because he's made us very good. And, you know, there's not that expectation of a Super Bowl in Maryland to begin with. It's not like the Ravens are a big market team.
Right.
Yeah, that's just it.
So, yeah. Look, I watched the highlights as well. I was, I said to you guys, I was catching up on highlights today. And You know, I'm very interested when it comes to this whole thing. For me, I watch, probably because I used to play as an outside back, right? So I watch how people run through traffic, and because also the game is so different, right? And how you get yourself free. And in the beginning, I was like, no, Baltimore, I'd forgotten that you actually said, no, they won this game. So I was like, Baltimore messed this game up. And then I watched that fourth quarter and I was like, how did they come away with that? I think also defensively, both teams were not great. I mean, Indianapolis is low key good. Indianapolis is low key really, really good. There's something missing. I think there's probably an experience factor missing.
Yeah.
I feel like something, there's a disconnect somewhere in the reason that they're, that they're not higher up on where they should be. You know, I don't think they're a 1-4 team. I do honestly believe they're probably a 2 or 3-4 team.
Yes.
But they're also young, you know, and I think like watching that game, I was like, I see the hype, you know. But I'll tell you this much, any quarterback is better than the Jets quarterback. I went there.
Oh.
So
yeah, no, look, I can also tell you, the Ravens, that injury crisis is definitely hurting. Remember, we had that injury crisis at the beginning of the season.
Sure.
It's hurting our defense. Having Devontae Murray, Le'Veon Bell, and Devontae Freeman?
Devontae Freeman, not Devontae Murray.
Freeman. Yeah. Having Murray, Bell, and those three. Having those three experience running
by one of those three.
Having them helps.
Has the name got a comma in it, randomly put in there, just thrown into, you know?
Yeah. But having them has settled us on offense, because it looks like the Ravens are going for it this season. Okay, we've got our offense, but our defense is suffering. You remember, like I said, this is an institutional strength, and the wrong people are injured. Hence why we're being gashed every season. Every game, we're being gashed. Whoa, run at the Ravens. Run at the Ravens, you're gonna make the pots, as we say. So, hence what I'm saying, when anything that the Ravens do well this year is a bonus. Anything we do, just get into the playoffs is a bonus, because this is the injury crisis is the kind which derails the season completely.
I hear you.
So
I've decided I'm gonna leave the United Rugby Championship for this week.
Yes.
Because I kind of want to do a build up to the end of season, what they call the year end tour.
Yeah,
see that today. Faf de Klerk might be out. He's having a consultation on his hip.
And which will give the coaches an opportunity to put whoever's Reinach there, who I want there, desperately, him and Yanji's. I said,
admitted you want Yanji's more than you want Kubus Reinach.
Yes.
That's it.
I still think Kubus Reinach is quality. That is a
top. I think he's I'm not disagreeing with you. I think I think we have a lot of stock at scrum off. And it's about time that a few of them got an opportunity to play. Obviously, one thing that shows that the number one scrum off is that good, that it's so hard to drop him. And I think that's great. And I think that's what these young players need to aspire to, where they go like, fuck me, it's really hard. It's really hard to get an opportunity here because he's just that good.
Mm-hmm.
I do still think Apelele Fassi should have got an opportunity. I think we need to leave Willy Leroux alone, because you know, it's hard, man. Like Willy at Kakenswiel, but like, I mean, it's, you're tired. I think he gets into a habit of trying to do too much.
And we agree. That's why I sat down, because after the game, went to the pub, chatted to my rugby mates, and I said, boys, apart from his embarrassing mistakes, what did he do wrong? Like, think, I know you wanted to kill him.
Right, but his mistakes were loud.
That's the problem.
The one where he just misjudged the ball and it hit him in the head.
It was just one of those afternoons. And good on Jock Nidovo for subbing him off when he did. That was a brave call. It ended up working.
And
dude, Squidge Rugby loves pointing it out. He will mention it. He will be like, guys.
Yeah. You don't understand how important.
Boys, just look at what he does.
Right.
Willie LaRue is such a critical part of our attack when it's flowing. I was like, it actually is true. Like, he always seems to be a linker. He's a sparker. He sees things from the...
But this is what we forget also about the game. Yeah. We always, I think a lot of fans and a lot of people, they always look at the game and they look at what you're doing when you have the ball.
Hold that. I just saw a Chinese-Swedish man.
Anyway, so...
I'm sorry, that this is Sweden playing Greece here. And I was like, what the hell? I've seen it all. Anyway, yeah.
Bro, this, you know, people of Asian descent all over
the world. Hey, man, I've seen it. No, great, man. Integration.
Integration is beautiful. When I moved here, it shocked the shit out of me.
But then you realize
just exactly how small the world is.
Exactly,
But... In having said all that, like, one thing we forget, like, as people who just sit down in their armchair and scream all kinds of things at the referee and the
reaction
and players and the reaction, and is that what you do without the ball is just as important to what you do with the ball.
Thank you.
And what he does without the ball. I actually watched the clip today on Cheslin Colby's.
Yes.
Just 30 seconds of him playing without the ball.
Yes.
And so much to this, especially at the top level, is what you do without the ball. We're always concerned about what we do with the ball. We're not telling people, use your eyes, trust the inside, do all the, you know, and poor Vili gets it in the ass. Okay, he didn't have a great game. Fine. How many people in the world actually in order to watch you do their job? Do you have to pay to watch them? And he's one of those people in the world. He's obviously good enough to do his job. You have a bad day, it happens. But some of that cuck was funny.
No. I was like, Vili, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Yeah. Going into the World Cup final, nobody wanted to listen to me. I was like, boys, it looks like Vili's having a cuck World Cup. But ask yourself how many tries we've conceded. They were like, we don't know. I was like, that's four.
How many tries did he create?
Thank you. No, but I said...
Ratio, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He only conceded four. And how many did he help in the build-up of?
And I would sit there. I would explain, because I'm not like a rugby expert. The knowledge you need clean when you
listen You're not a rugby expert? The way you scream at the TV?
Okay. And I said, boys, do you understand... The reason our defense is so watertight is because, from my understanding, my limited knowledge of defensive strategy, is that if you've got a guy like Lukanyo Am, who is comfortably the best organizer in the world in terms of defense, because he can see traffic from both ways, who do you think sees the entire field from defense? The fullback. Mm-hmm. If those two are communicating well, they can spot danger. They can redirect Cheslin to say, Cheslin.
What do they say? What do they say in the NFL? There's a secondary. I was trying to work out this whole secondary in the defense, you know, because there's the D line, and then you have these three of them who are in the secondary who cover a shitload. It's the same principle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't have somebody like until Fussy gets his chance at fullback.
Yes.
Which he will. He will.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. He will. This young kid is 20-something. He's young 20s. Early 20s.
Yeah. 20, yeah.
He's 20, what? 3? 22 at the most? So he's going to get his chance.
Yes.
I'm all for... And it's amazing how cognizant Vili is to this thing of, unfortunately, listening to people and listening to social media, because that's what happens. This is our world, you know.
It's
the modern world. We listen to social media. We read this. Try not to pay attention.
React to that.
Yeah.
People, that's my problem. People react because Dave Chappelle said Twitter's not a real place.
Well, plus, what did Mike Tyson say? Social media made it comfortable for people not to get punched in the face.
And that's the problem when corporates or people who've got power react to what a mob says and then act accordingly. Like, oh, this guy's a shit player. And then they bow to that pressure and that player gets dropped. Willie LaRue 10 years ago, Mike, before Twitter, hey, we'd be at his feet, like, you great, you legend. But there's a narrative that's been created that...
Unfortunately, he just sometimes gets a little ahead of himself, and that just happens.
That's what a high-risk player does. Like, people, when you're... If you name me one exciting high-risk player who doesn't make mistakes, yeah, I will show you the Jets winning the Super Bowl.
Well, then again, I always say, everybody thinks... One thing about the All Blacks is they do play high-risk rugby, and they play it very well.
Yeah.
But when they make mistakes, they make mistakes. Right?
When you point out that the All Blacks kick more than everybody else, it's just that they kick better than everybody else.
Right.
The ball goes far and it goes wide. The ball is contestable when they kick it. The ball hits grass when they kick it, which creates trouble. Don't just kick the balls down the man's throat. It's something that we try to point out, like, watch how well these guys kick. And that, what does good kicking do? It advances field position so that you can force mistakes that side, so that that high-risk strategy of yours can choke the life out of the opposition. But no, people don't want to hear that. No, they're excited. They run the ball from everywhere. No, they'll run the ball from everywhere if it's a counterattack from your fumble that side. Yeah. That's which is why sometimes you want to club somebody, but you know, it's like, okay.
But it happens, yeah. But also, you know how we get into things, and then
yeah,
so many narratives. The game is in the game. But something I'm very excited about, because I'm looking on Ultimate Rugby in Wales. I've got a name for you here. It's going to be great. Two uncapped players in Wales' 38-man squad.
Yeah.
Wales have named it. Check this out. Wales under 20 and Exeter Chiefs forward. Christ! Tiunza is one of the two uncapped players named in the squad. They named homeboy Christ. They named him Christ. He's got a hand. Christ Tiunza. T-S-H-I-U-N-Z-A.
Tiunza. Christ.
Sounds very...
He sounds like an immigrant.
I think, but sounds like, very cool.
He's from Niger.
I don't think Niger.
Okay, he's his second generation.
Niger with a surname like Chiunza.
Chiunza would be Southern African.
Southern African.
Congo. Maybe he's from Congo.
Is it Congolese?
Congolese player.
Wow.
That's cool. A unit.
That's cool. He doesn't look small. I'm not
6'6", 113 kilograms.
Not running into him. And
yeah,
also,
he's a Congolese immigrant. Yeah.
And also, Gregor Townsend is named Sharks. Sharks player Rory Darge.
Okay.
Because he's got Scottish heritage into
the. Right. Where's this Rory Darge from? Like originally. Like, okay, he's got Scottish heritage, but where is he from? Is he moving?
No, because if he was born in South Africa. This is also the thing with world rugby. Like, if you have heritage somewhere else, so for example, I was born in Namibia. I could turn out for Namibia because, I was born there, right? They'll find if you know, it's the same thing that was happening here for a few years, finding players, big, you know, top quality players who had heritage. It's great. You want to have them. And, you know, and why not big up to them? It's an opportunity for him to play it in the.
Yeah. And improve another nation,
improve a team. But he's still under contract at the Sharks. So we'll see how it goes from there. Mm-hmm. I said we'll do it, you know, bit of URC next week. Round four comes up. I'll just give you the fixtures for round four on Friday night. Ulster versus the Emirates Lions in Belfast. Ulster
for the win.
The Dragons versus DHL Stormers.
It'll be very close. I'm not quoting that one.
No, because you just don't know which Stormers team is gonna pop up on that day.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So what the hell?
Zebra on Saturday. Zebra versus Glasgow Warriors.
They're getting a puck.
Ooh, Glasgow or Zebra?
Zebra, they're getting a puck.
Benetton versus Ospreys.
That will be a tight one, but I think the away team will win.
So you think Ospreys is going to get that one?
Okay, look, remember, okay. Benetton is an awkward team. And they won this competition last season. But they don't look like they're as good as they were last time. I still think it will be a close one.
Is that our old boy plays for? What's his name? Dewald Duvenage.
Dewald Duvenage, yeah, at Benetton. But then again, Osprey caught a slap from the Shark, so form-wise, right, they are not going in there looking good, yeah.
Okay. Saturday, Leinster versus Scarlets. Ooh, I might watch that. I'll watch that one.
Ooh, the home team should edge it.
I might watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that too.
Edinburgh.
Who knows?
Edinburgh versus Vodacom Bulls. I'm going to go with the Bulls on that one.
Okay, yeah.
Edinburgh, meanwhile, are hosting South African opposition for the second week running, having been held to a 2020 draw by the Stormers on Saturday. Yeah. So,
good game, though.
Cardiff versus Chelsea Sharks.
Cardiff Blues, huh? I think the Blues will edge that.
You think the Blues take it on?
I think they'll edge that. Look, South African teams have settled. I can see now, you know, the reason why I'm suddenly not reading the last rights on their campaign this year is the fact that how physical they've been. They've finally settled, they've been physical, and that physicality is now
equal. But I think also they've realized that everybody thought that these European teams were ultra physical and they're not.
Exactly.
And then I'm guessing this would be the big one for the weekend. Munster versus Connacht.
Is that on Sunday?
That's on Saturday.
That's the evening game. Munster versus Connacht. I think Munster will win at home.
Let's see what they've got here. The first interprovincial clash of the season sees informed Munster take on an inconsistent Connacht.
Yeah, that's the thing. Connacht lost to the Dragons the other day. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Up and down.
Yeah.
Up and down. Munster have a maximum haul of 15 points from their opening three matches, while the Westerners' big win against the Bulls is sandwiched by defeats to the to Cardiff and the Dragons.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
All right. So, the thing I've mentioned before is, it's going to be fun to watch the Chicago Bulls this year.
All I can say is, do you know how happy I am to look forward to the NBA season?
It's funny, I didn't even get into the fact that Manchester United have about 1,500 injuries. So the NBA this year, yes.
That team we're not talking about. We're not talking about them until 2 weeks from now. And then, yeah. Chicago Bulls. The thing is, I was more excited with the fact of what's happening in the Lakers that I forgot that the Chicago Bulls, well, they look,
but you know what? I think also we're forgetting about these teams that have actually have improved, partly because everybody is trying to figure out where the hell Ben Simmons is going to go. Okay,
I heard that he might be going to the Lakers, not the Lakers, the Nets, because of the nonsense that's happening with Kyrie Irving.
But then you like, can you imagine? You're swapping a problem with a problem. For example.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The Bulls, it's just nice to see Chicago is going to have a team that looks like they're going to challenge for the playoffs. Something. You know, it's something. I haven't actually looked at the Celtics because I've just been trying to figure out what. So, okay. Ben Simmons, though, is apparently there was a story that he might reconsider because the 76ers were saying, listen, all well and good that you feel this way and all power to you, but you're not going to get paid. We're going to slash your salary in half. And then he's probably been evaluating that situation. Look, he needs to just buckle up and figure it out, if I'm honest.
Yeah, because he's not, his reputation at the moment as a player just has
gone down. Think about it. He had an open lane to the left. All he had to the hoop. All he had to do was dunk the ball. He passed it out for a three. The two was right there. Did they need the extra point? You know, it's things like that. It's like, are you going to shoot? What is going on in your head? And all this stuff. And it's like, bro, like either just get along with it or don't. Then go. And nobody, you know, nobody's touching him right now. Because if a team really, really wanted Ben Simmons, they would have traded for him. They would have done it already. It would have happened. But the competition-wise, we talked about the Lakers earlier. Super, super interested to see if they will stay healthy. If they stay healthy, then great. Then this is going to be a fun season if they stay healthy.
On that note, which is the stronger division? You said
the West, but I think the East has got some players now. I mean, Chicago being relative, New York being relative, the Celtics being relative. Obviously, Brooklyn being relative, the Sixers being relative. Mm-hmm. So that looks deep already.
Which is nice.
Charlotte is not exactly they're not great, but they're not crap anymore. So we'll see where they go. But then, you know, this Western Conference, I think wherever LeBron is, it's always going to be
competitive.
You know, Klay Thompson comes back in December. They're eyeing our Christmas Day for him to return. So, you know, the Warriors are immediately better. They've got their big three, Iguodala's back.
They still exist? I totally forgot that there was a team called the Warriors, eh?
I know, right? You forget these things. And you forget that they...
best team in the world for all sports.
They're probably going to be 20 wins better now.
Yeah.
You know, to me. But it's... the unfortunate thing, and this is what we're going to close off, you know, is so Kyrie Irving is not allowed into practice. Practice. He's kind of not allowed to be in the arena. He's saying he wants to deal with this privately as to whether or not he takes the vaccine. Andrew Wiggins didn't want to take the vaccine. And when the Warriors told him, well, San Francisco mandate is that you have to take the vaccine. It's probably for sportsmen, it's quite a heavy mandate. Because you come into contact with so many people. And you're not just protecting yourselves and your teammates. There's arena workers, there's security, there's concession people. There's a lot of people coming in and out of a game. You're just one small part. And if you're that small part, and they basically told Andrew Wiggins, we're probably going to have to slash your pay. And he was like, nope, let me get that Johnson & Johnson. That one shot in there. Beep. Andrew Wiggins is not Kyrie Irving in terms of talent. I'm not saying that. But unfortunately, when your employer demands of you, your employer is obviously your franchise and the contract that you have, and the NBA at large. When the governing body says, please, all of you got to be vaccinated, it's not even a please anymore. It starts off with please. It turns into more than likely have to be. You got to do it. And he's just not doing it. And it's creating all this extra shit that Brooklyn don't need, right? Brooklyn don't need this.
They are promising. They are that team.
They're like a walking finals team right now. They could be. You know, that. Literally, think about this. Let's think about this. It's 3-2 in the NBA Finals. And you're in Brooklyn and you've got to win game six to force a game seven, and Kyrie can't play. Just for example. So you're going to lose the championship because you decided, no, this is a private matter. My employer doesn't matter. Right? And I'm all about pro-choice. I really am. Don't give me, and I think people are going to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm all about pro-choice. If you know, I think if you're a normal, ordinary day-to-day person like me and you are, and your work doesn't require of you to do it, then you don't have to do it. Then don't do it. I chose to do it because my child was being, when, you know, I wanted to be in the delivery room when my child is going to be born. So, you know, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not delivering the baby, but yeah.
You know, I'd like to ask, when you mentioned that, something, a question has formulated in my head. I'd go to Kyrie and I'd be like, Kyrie, all your life, you've taken medications prescribed by doctors or medical professionals, health professionals. You've taken supplements from ever legal, let's say legal.
Yeah, ones, everything over the counter.
But yeah, you've taken stuff that has been recommended without questioning.
You have a healthy immune system. You're exactly not sick.
But all of a sudden, you get told you have to take this. And no. It's something to control the black community, blah, blah, blah. Hang on. Why are you suddenly making a stand now? No, it's not questioning the vaccine or your right to not take it. But all of a sudden, why are you making a stance on something you're not
really about? So, you know, it's like, for example, 2015 NBA Finals, he broke his kneecap in the game. Obviously, you have to have that surgically repaired. Now, are you going to tell the doctor, don't give me any anesthetic because I don't believe in anesthesia? Okay, then take the pain. Not everybody has the ability to shake this thing. Not everybody's immune system. Everybody's immune system gets attacked differently.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like I said, I'm pro-choice. If you want to do it, if you don't want to do it, great. But as soon as the governing body of the sport says it's mandated that you have to do this so that we can have games because we have stars. And that's also the other thing. So, I mean, so imagine Ronaldo says, "I knew I'm not doing it." Okay. <Yeah. laughs> How much money does Manchester United lose? Messi says, "I'm not doing it." How much money does PSG lose? Neymar, I'm not doing it. PSG loses money. Mbappe. Yeah, okay, but Mbappe is on his way out anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, so players of that caliber, LeBron doesn't do it because why? Because if LeBron is not on the floor, the NBA is not interesting, right? And frankly, if Zion is not on the floor now, the NBA is not going to be interesting.
And if LeBron says, "I'm not taking it," powerful individual like that, what message does it send? That's why I'm like, okay, rather Kyrie cause a shit than somebody like LeBron.
You know, and I'm all for Kyrie's deep thinking and thinking that the earth is flat, even though that he plays with a round basketball. But this is bordering crazy. Now, a lot of people are probably thinking, yeah, but it is his choice and it is his. Then don't play basketball. Then don't play it. Don't play in the NBA. And
let somebody else do it.
Then let somebody else do it. Unfortunately, it's the sport. Yeah, you signed a contract. This is what you sign up. You don't just sign a contract with the team. You sign a contract with the NBA. Yeah, okay. He could sit on his ass and play only 42 games in the regular season. He'll still get $16 million. That's a shitload of money. That's eating. For doing nothing? If I get $16 million...
Doing nothing. I'm losing money as your employer.
I'm losing money as my employer, right? So if I'm employing you to sit at home, your job is to play basketball, not to do anything else, but play basketball. All this other extra stuff where they ask you for your opinions, those are your free thoughts, go ahead, knock yourself out. Great, Kyrie, all good for it. But you're going to mess your team up. And we always talk about team-first mentality. You've got to have a team-first mentality. Fine. So Kevin Durant, who decided to leave the Warriors because he wanted to try and win on his own, recruits you, or you recruit him, you two go together and you form this team. James Harden comes along. Now you've got a great team. LaMarcus Aldridge is coming back. The team on paper looks great. And you decide,
you don't know. No, I'm going to be a medical expert. I'm going to go against the, you know, that's,
I think really it was, nice. I think it was Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy said about all these people who are saying, "Oh, I'm doing my own, my own research and I'm doing. So
what do you know?
What research?
What research? You are talking about people who have made medicine their lives.
Right.
And they don't mean ill. It is what it is.
Look, but also.
I've gotten into fights with family and friends over this.
Let's put it this way. We lost a season for 18 months. Right, just, and this is low level regional league rugby, Bundesliga rugby as well. Right, so we have this thing where we play a game and then there's a gap for 2 weeks. Doesn't mean you can't play in the 2 weeks or so, but generally, a gap for 2 weeks in case somebody gets this, they kick it in 2 weeks, you play again, yeah. Just for example.
Yeah,
right. So we lost a year. We've got all kinds of other issues, but now it's so selfish of you to then come from outside into the what they call the bubble of what I would call the bubble of the team, because that's what I'm calling it. It's the bubble of the team. You're coming in and you now going to dictate the terms as to how you're going to play, whether you're going to play or not, based purely on vaccine. And it's like, but no, we're bigger than you. don't come around you with that shit, because we'd rather play, right? I'd rather work and play. I'd rather coach than do nothing, you know. And I'm all for Kyrie having free thoughts and
yes.
Think Kyrie can go be the new Colin Kaepernick, and they can go chill together and fight the good fight. Power to the people. Do your thing, you know. Even if you say Viva NZ and you meant Azapo, it's fine. No, it's all good. But it's costing the team, and it's gonna be.
Yeah, I know, man. Hey. We know going against the grain, you don't want to be a sheep, but sometimes when it's common sense, I can't. Because with Colin Kaepernick, it was an issue that had to be
addressed. It was an issue.
It had to be addressed that many people relate to. When it comes to COVID,
People are dying.
That's what I'm like, making a stance, you've had many plots to make stands on.
I said the other day, about so people, you know, I said this really, and it's probably really tongue in cheek, and my mom saying this to my mom, and she's like, yeah, you know, these people who anti-vax, and I said, you know, sometimes the best way to learn is to catch something.
Yes.
My mom said, oh, but you don't want people to get that, and I don't want anybody to get the virus. I don't. Ma, if you want to know, go be clever, like those people, like Miles was telling us about. In Cape Town, the anti, and then they get gemoed by the police because they're contravening the law, the rules, or whatever. Then why are you complaining? Because you went to contravene the. There's people in the UK. I saw this story this week, or listened to the story this week. People are taking their kids to school in the United Kingdom, and there's anti-vax people saying, "Why are you vaccinating your children? Why are you making them wear a mask?" But it's my child. I want to protect my child. Like. I'm all good with Kyrie saying, I want to keep this private, whether or not I do. But if you had been vaccinated, nobody, you know, you could say, okay, let's carry on. You know, A, it's one of two things. You could do the vaccination and not tell anybody. It's very simple to do that. Or you carry on as normal, make like you have had the vaccination, then get sick. Then you're in 2 weeks quarantine. So you tell us what you want to do, bro. But the Nets are looking at, I mean, I just looked at the story now. They're looking at, Patty Mills. They also signed Patty Mills. Here we go. The Nets banned Kyrie Irving from team activities until he's eligible to be a full participant. So your employer has now basically said, don't come back. Until you've carried out what we need from you to carry out.
Good on them for making a stance, for putting their foot down. You understand you're a star.
But there was a point they tried this thing, bro. But the training facility is a private building. My man, good, always catching up. I'm looking for.
There's so much to talk about. But yeah.
Maybe on Friday we can do a part two.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Maybe on Friday we can do a part two.
I know that some of us have got, hey, there's so much to do. There's so much on our plate now all of a sudden, which is good. You'd rather have be distracted.
What do I always say? Rather be busy than bored.
Yeah, man. And COVID has taught us, or life after COVID has taught us that nonsense.
All right.
But yeah. All is right in the world, man. I hope.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to that episode. Check out our Instagram and Facebook pages to see who will be coming up next or when we drop the next episode. And as I say, please, if you can, support our GoFundMe page. That would be really amazing. And at the moment, as the world seems to be working towards normal, quote unquote, and look after yourselves, take care of your loved ones, take care of yourselves, you know, make good choices, yada, yada, yada. But after all that, take care.